Corinthians chapter number 10 says this: "Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Lest such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we are reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of those things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." And let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this chance to get together. We thank you for what you've been doing, both physically and spiritually, around the church and in the church family.
Yes, sir.
For God, we'd be deceiving ourselves if we'd pretend that we don't have problems, we don't have struggles and sorrows and setbacks. But God, we know the answer tonight. In faith, we believe in what we cannot see physically, that your Spirit and your Word have what we need to sustain us, to strengthen us, to get us through the battles ahead. And God, we came tonight knowing we need you. We need something from the Spirit of God. And we'd ask now that you'd guide us through the sword, through the Word of God, and bring us to the conclusion that you'd have us to find, that we might take with us a truth, a principle from your Word to apply to our lives and see what you will do in our life as we yield ourselves to you, to your Word and to your Spirit. Help us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I know it's going to be warm, and I'll try to speak up, and I'll try to preach fast, although I already talk a bit low and a bit fast to start with, and get you out of here at a decent time, but try to help you tonight. We've been talking about in this chapter anyway that to win, we've got to war right. And if we're going to war right, we've got to walk right. And if you look at verse number 5, the battle starts in the mind. Casting down imaginations, it's in the mind. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, it's in the mind. And bringing into captivity every thought in the mind, it is referring to the obedience of Christ. If you look down back to chapter number 3 of 2 Corinthians, try to give us a quick introduction here because we've already gone over this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, we've seen in chapter 10 the battles in the mind and our thinking. We've got to get our viewpoint, our mindset right about God, about ourselves and others, but it starts in the mind. Chapter 3, verse number 12. We went over this a couple of weeks, months ago, about the veils on our hearts. But it says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day there remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart," the heart being the center of the mind. Verse 16, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face," here's the answer, "beholding as in a glass," in a mirror if you will, "the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Old Testament here, the example being the Jews are hung up on the Old Testament. Their thinking is wrong. Their hearts are wrong. The idea is it starts in the mind here is our application. They're blinded, distorted, an obscured view, if you will, as looking through a veil. And when we're looking through a lens or a veil that is warping what we see, distorting what we see or how we perceive it, it results in the wrong viewpoint, the wrong mindset of God, ourselves, and others. And as we've been saying, we need a renewed mind. And that renewal of mind, that refreshing or quickening of our minds, like happened at salvation, must happen regularly in sanctification, comes in verse number 18 of chapter 3, by beholding the glory of the Lord. Getting to know, studying, learning who Jesus Christ is and abiding in that. Verse chapter 4, we've seen already, verse number 4, is why there's such a struggle. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Speaking specifically about salvation, but an application about the mind there, the veil that is over their hearts, over their minds, he gets Christians distorted in their thinking as well. He gets our mindset, our viewpoint off of what it should be. We view God wrong, we view ourselves wrong, and we view other people wrong. We'll see on Sundays coming, it shows up in our relationships. But in chapter 10, verse 5, it says imaginations, knowledge, thoughts. The child of God is susceptible as well to the wrong thinking, to distorted, obscured, blind thinking about God, ourselves, and others if we're not careful, because the enemy is at work. So by introduction, learning of Christ, abiding in Christ is what leads to that renewal, that putting on of the mind and the characteristics of Christ. If you go to John chapter number 3, familiar passage to some, John chapter number 3, John 3:16, of course, probably the most famous verse in the Bible. You see it everywhere from the pulpit to the pew to the packed out stadiums where people write it under their eyes and have no idea what it says. But I don't want to look at verse number 16. We'll look a little further down. And this is the message of tonight. If the renewal of our mind comes from abiding in Christ, that abiding leads to the renewal, because abiding in Christ begins with a revealing. It's where I want to be tonight, because it is a journey. This revealing that takes place when you are abiding in the light of the world, which is Christ. Light reveals some things. John chapter 3, verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Rune number talking. If I'm going to be led to this renewal, it begins by abiding in Christ, but Christ is the light of the world. There's a revealing. And the lost man, the wicked man in his natural state, pulls back from the light into the shadows, into the darkness, because he doesn't want to see himself as he truly is. By application for the believers at Corinth and for us, to renew my mind, I've got to abide in Christ, become like Christ. It's the same idea. I am drawn closer to God, closer to the light, and the closer I get to the light, the more it reveals God and me to me. And it sounds good. Going somewhere because it sounds good to abide in the light, to get closer to the light, to adopt the mind of Christ. Can I say this? It'll be one of the hardest journeys you ever take. You say, well, I got saved. I thought I came to the light. I walked out of the darkness, not by my own doing, but I was translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I thought I could see the path clearly. I thought I would see problems coming. I thought I would see the answers. And it doesn't work out that way. Or you are someone that's come back to your faith. Or you're someone that is in the faith. And he said, I've drawn closer and closer. I'm trying to get to know God. I'm trying to get closer to the light. I thought it would be different. It'll be the hardest journey you ever take. Because the light of Christ is painfully revealing. And it's not what you expected. God, I thought I was going to get closer to you, and you are. And when that discomfort, that pain, that revealing comes, it doesn't mean you're not getting closer to the light. It probably means you are. And that light shines upon you. And there's got to be a reckoning. Because it begins to reveal what are my actual motives. Begins to reveal what are my desires. Is it for my own glory? And it begins to shine and reveals what is lacking or what there is still left to be dealt with in my life. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you're not back there, we'll go back there. Because this is what I want to look at tonight. As that light reveals you to you, as that light is revealing your life, one of two things, and usually both, I believe, begin to rise to the surface. One is pride and one is pain. There's a susceptibility for pride to come to the surface or pain to come to the surface as a vessel. Chapter number 6, and man, I'm just thinking of this now. As those earthen vessels Paul was talking about, chapter 6, they're fragile, they can be weakened, they can be susceptible to cracking and fractures. As those vessels are held up to a bright light, weaknesses are shown. Cracks are revealed. Susceptibilities are shown to be where we might not have thought they were before. And the temptation is, let's draw back from the light. Let's just go back to where we were, complacent in our walk with God or casual towards the things of God. The status quo. I read the Bible and I come to church and I do this and that. But rather than pursue the light, you get into that light and it reveals more cracks and more imperfections and more weaknesses. The temptation is, let's pull back. Or, as we'll see before we're done, is to stop getting closer to the light and comparing ourselves to the light and start comparing ourselves to everybody else. Chapter number 10, verse number 17 says this, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." If you're going to take this journey, and I'm not saying to just do it half-hearted, I'm not saying just to jump in, it sounds like a good idea, it will be the most difficult journey you ever make. Is to think about this, my motive, my end goal better be the glory of God. And if it's not, then as I encounter light and I encounter more pain or more pride than I ever thought was within me, you won't finish the journey. You'll either see only the positives that are in you and who you are or what you are and swell with pride, or you'll only see the negatives and recoil from the pain that the light reveals. If you go to Philippians chapter number 3, this will be the only other place we'll go to tonight, I believe. Philippians chapter number 3. Again, Paul is the author, and he's going to give us a journey here that he went on as well, that he might know Christ. I just want to give you three things tonight that the light reveals. And they can be for our benefit, they're for our good, they are, but there's a danger here that if your end goal is not to remind myself, this isn't about me, pride or pain, this is about God being glorified. As we encounter these things, we could pull back from the light. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus," here it is, "and have no confidence in the flesh." Paul gives a list here. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. He's pursuing that light. If that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Familiar verse, but keep it in mind because it's the list we go over here, the three things. We've got to put those things behind, deal with them, and move on and keep pursuing the light. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you, even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. A couple more verses there, we won't read them for sake of time tonight. But Paul is going to take this journey or recap this journey he's been on, all the way from persecuting the church, all through his background and his upbringing, his accomplishments, all the way through where he is now. And I think we can see some things from 2 Corinthians and Philippians 3 tonight that light, that abiding in Christ reveals. Number one, the light will reveal our successes. And I want to explain it because when we look back at what is the light, not just a shadow that's casting behind us, if you will, when a light hits you, but it's history. What are my successes? It reveals what I've accomplished, what I've done with my life. And can I say it based on Paul here? Nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong or sinful about having a strong resume. Nothing wrong about having a list of achievements of things you have done in your life. A list of things of your abilities, things you're good at, of the accolades that you have received. But what the light will reveal is, what is it I'm proud of? What is it I glory in? What is it that holds my true interests and my appetites and my desires? Is it in what I have done and in who I am? The light will bring that to mind. The light will reveal our successes because the danger lies in what is my confidence and trust actually in. As I get closer to the light reveals more of me. And am I, like Paul said, y'all have no confidence in the flesh. He said, if anybody does, Paul will look at all the lists. He said, where I come from, the good stock I come from, the good education I have, the good keeping of the law, who I am, what I've done. Paul said, I have the list. I have the resume. I have all the abilities. I have the background, the successes. And if we're not careful, there lies my confidence and my trust. If we pride ourselves, and I just pride myself on being strong, of being independent. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 19, Paul said, here's the danger, their God was themselves. They gloried in themselves. Proverbs 26 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 27 says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. Now try to hasten, but number one, the light reveals our successes, and it's for a reason that we can give God the credit and the glory for all he has done in our lives. That he gave us the strength to even do any of these things, or can reveal the danger of, am I having confidence in my successes? Number two, the light reveals not only our successes, but the light reveals our sin. You're there in Philippians chapter number 3. Without reading too much of it, there's a lot there we could recap. Philippians chapter 3 down to verse number 6, for instance. He talks about concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Verse number 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He understands he's still an imperfect man. Verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He understands in his pursuit of Christ that as far as he's gotten and as much as he's done, there's still imperfections in Paul. And as you get closer to the light, yes, you can see yourself and God more clearly, the success stories, but you can see the sin and the shame of your past and your present, those areas where you struggle, where you've fallen short or still fall short, and the light is going to reveal that, and it's a painful place to be.
And you can say, I've gotten closer to God, and the light has shown me for who I truly am. I am worthless. I am filthy. I can do nothing for God. There's danger in that. There isn't a worthless person to God. We are unworthy of His grace, but we're not worthless. The light begins to reveal sin. Not just the shame of my past, but things I'm dealing with and struggling with now that maybe I only know. And the temptation is, let's get back away from the light. That hurt. I didn't know I still had that weakness. Or I don't want to admit I have this struggle. Or I don't want to come face to face with that mirror, the light of God's Word, and say, this is my besetting sin. This is my battle with the flesh. The light reveals these things.
Yes, sir.
Psalms 19 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, the psalmist says. And then he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Presumptuous sin is it's a decision, it's a choice. Where I am on purpose, I am sinning boldly. I am sinning arrogantly, I'm sinning willfully, and that is certainly a category that the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the Word of God shined upon you will reveal, that you have long harbored and tolerated willful, arrogant, bold violations of the Word of God, and you sing with all the rest. We preach or we teach with all the rest. We come to church or we do the things of a Christian with all the rest, while knowing there's an area of our life that's in contradiction and violation of the Word of God. That is presumptuous sinning. And the light will reveal that. But the psalmist said also, secret faults.
Yes,
not talking about hidden sin that nobody knows about. Perhaps that's an application, but a secret fault line running under the ground, it's a secret fault. It's often hidden to even the doer of it. Like Paul saying, back when I was a lost man, I did those things ignorantly. And the child of God says, God, I want to go on this journey of the renewing of my mind, which requires abiding in Christ, pursuing the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand by the Word of God is going to reveal me. And God, I've heard it could cause pride of my successes or pain of my sin, of who I am, how unworthy I am. But God, reveal me to me. Keep me from sinning arrogantly and willfully. But God, use the light of your Word and show me the secret faults. Things I didn't even know I struggled with. Things I didn't even know were sin. God, I want to be revealed by the light.
Yes, sir.
Number one, reveals our successes. Number two, reveals our sin. And number three, and this is a big one too, it reveals our sorrows or our sufferings.
Yep.
You say, I'm already quite aware of the pain I've had in my own life. Not me, for me. I'm saying all of us individually. You say, I can look back and I can see the tragedies. I can see the sorrows. What I'm saying is, when you pursue God and get in that light, yes, it will be a spotlight. And it's more than just the successes. It's more than just the pride. More than just the sin you're dealing with right now that you can't seem to break out of. More than just the pain of that. It is, where is this coming from? And that spotlight shines mighty far onto sorrows and sufferings. It is pains and traumas we haven't dealt with yet scripturally. It could have been yesterday. It could have been 20 years ago. But pains, tragedies, traumas that we've never successfully and scripturally dealt with. And this is where you get into one of the most painful journeys you'll ever take, is when you say, God, I don't like it. God, I don't want it. God, it's not going to be fun, but I want the light of Jesus Christ to shine back and reveal to me sorrows, traumas, tragedies in my life that I never scripturally dealt with. I've locked them away. I don't dwell on them. I don't bring them up, because if I do, it's going to derail me. I'm going to allow you, God, to take me back and deal with these sufferings I've never dealt with scripturally. It's not a journey to take lightly. And I feel, honestly, this third one is an aspect that many good Christians struggle with. That where they're not hung up on pride of their own successes, or they're not stuck on the pain of their own presumptuous sinning, that there are traumas and painful events of our past that most have never dealt with scripturally.
Mm-hmm.
So can we bring this full circle and say again, our end goal has got to be the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, like we said in the beginning. Proverbs 25 says, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. So my goal, my pursuit, Paul said, is the glory of Jesus Christ. So my journey, my experience, my trek that I'm taking into the light of Jesus Christ, abiding in Him, brings pain, brings temptation of pride, of my successes, of my sin, my sorrowing, so be it. The glory is going to Jesus at the end of this thing. If that is not our goal, we'll turn back from the light because of pride or pain.
Yes, sir.
You want to turn back there? If you are there, maybe Philippians chapter number 3. I want to show you this, Philippians chapter number 3 as well. Keep going too far, I end up in Colossians. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. Paul said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse number 13 again, keeping in mind what we just talked about, the temptation of pride or confidence in our successes, the presumptuous sinning or the secret faults, or the pains, the sorrows of my past that I've not dealt with. If God brings these things to mind, verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Can we say this tonight to ourselves? There are one of these categories, or all three of them in my life, that I haven't arrived in yet. I haven't taken care of them successfully, scripturally. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's a child of God saying, I haven't arrived. I know it's not going to be a pleasant journey. It's not going to be what I expected when I got closer to the light. But God, reveal me, expose me, do whatever you need to do, that the end result might be the glory of God. If you're in our text, which we'll end tonight, just a few minutes here, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 is our text. Let me tie this all together, because there's a danger, there's a temptation here, that when I get closer to God, I'm pursuing that renewal, which comes by a revealing light. When I get into revealing all my successes, my sin, my sufferings, the temptation is to pull back, and to settle for less. To justify in my mind where I'm at, by comparing myself not to the light, but to other people. And justify, excuse why I've stopped pursuing the light. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And there is a danger that I start to compare myself with him or her or them instead of comparing myself to the revealing light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the Word of God, because it is obvious in our day in which we live, the history of the world spells it out, the Scriptures spell it out, everybody else is just as broken as you are. And when I compare myself to those that are just as broken by the pride of their own successes, are just as broken by the sin of their past or their present, are just as broken by the pain of their own suffering, they're less convicting to me than the light. Yeah. They're less risky for me to expose myself than being in the light. They're less painful than the light. Let me just read down through some of these. When I stop letting the light reveal my successes, my sin, and my sufferings, and I begin to compare, number one, when I compare with their successes, I fall in the temptation of, well, I'm further ahead than them. Oh, I'm pretty good compared to them. They've only come so far. They've only done so much. They have so much that they can claim as a success in their life, and there could be a danger of pride that I fall into casualness, that when I compare to them, I slack off pursuing him. Because I'm ahead of them. I'm not saying anybody here would do that tonight, but become complacent and stagnant in my pursuing, in my growth, because, hey, compared to them, I'm doing pretty good. There's a cost that comes with comparing ourselves with their successes and just coasting when we should be thriving. When we compare ourselves with their sin. At least I'm not as bad as them. At least I haven't done blank And man, we like that one, don't we? We won't even go into the conversation of the men today. Because one guy, I think it was my dad, had to bring out a convicting point, and then it got quiet in the auditorium. And we were having a good conversation, just having fun, and obviously always just educating one another and about current events and what's going on, and this crowd and that crowd and this crowd, and this crowd came out of the closet, and they're forcing their Christians back into the closet. And I think it's probably my dad that said, well, the problem is not all of them, the problem started with us. And there was a few more minutes of conversation of one-liners and joking about, we're not talking about us, we're talking about them. We're not talking about theirs, we're not taking responsibility. And those, including myself, that were saying those things, were saying them in jest. But then even in jest, it got real quiet. Because there's a temptation to compare myself with somebody else when it comes to sin, and that fosters and produces more carnality.
Mm.
When I compare myself to somebody else, and what they're doing compared to what I should or should not be doing, instead of comparing myself to the light, it leads to more debauchery. Number one, comparing myself to their successes, to their sin. And lastly, if I compare myself to their sorrows and their suffering. Not that we compare ourselves, say, oh, they have more than me, so mine's not so bad. The temptation is, it is a veil, it's a distorting, it's a blinding. And we begin to think, God, you haven't been fair to me. What did I do to earn this level of solitude, suffering, sorrow? God, you've been good to them compared to what I've been through. And it breeds resentment and causes coldness towards the light. And because of a coldness, we find ourselves withdrawn from the light. Maybe you're pulling back from the light. You'll never have that renewal of mind without the revealing, because it's too painful. I don't want to face that. I don't want to see that. I'd rather compare myself to them, because it's less painful, it's less risky, it's less convicting, than to say, expose me, light of the world. Expose me, word of God. Reveal me to me, that I might be more like you. Because comparing ourselves to other successes in sin and suffering might be safer, but it's not.
Yes,
Psalm 73, the psalmist said it this way. Truly God is good to Israel. Even to such are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Basically the first third of that chapter, half of that chapter, the psalmist said, God, you're real good to everybody else, and you've forgotten about me. You've allowed me to go places and go through things I didn't deserve. We compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We're both casualties. Because it's all about us again. Now, I said this probably 5 years ago. Some of the same crowd, several different faces at the time, certainly different youth group at the time. People have become adults, children become teens. And when I said it, there was almost an audible gasp. I don't know who all here tonight was here then, that when I said that low self-esteem is as much pride as high self-esteem. Because all, again, it's about me. High self-esteem says, look at what I've accomplished, look at what I've done, look at who I am. And I can be an alpha male with the best of them, and I can put my resume against the best of them and be self-driven and be motivated, and that I'm for all that. It's wrong in and of itself, but thinking highly of yourself, high self-esteem is pride. So is low self-esteem. Man, I just can't do anything right. Man, I'm worthless. I can't serve God. Man, with all that God's allowed, I must be a horrible person, because both extremes, it's all about self again, and the spirit and the flesh don't mix. Compare that. We don't have time. I'm looking at the clock here. We're 33 minutes in. That's over for a Wednesday night. Try to cut it off at half an hour, but I'm wrapping it up, I hope. Compare that to Isaiah 6. Without going to Isaiah 6, when Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, in a time of tragedy and uncertainty, a king had died, one that was a close friend to Isaiah, or at least he was a confidant of this king. In that same time period, that same year that King Uzziah died, I saw God also high and lifted up. He gets a clear view of God. The glory of God, the light of the presence of God, and it reveals God to Isaiah like Isaiah had never seen God before as clearly, and it also revealed Isaiah to Isaiah. And when we abide in Christ like Isaiah saw God, you stand exposed to true light. You see yourself for who you truly are. There is conviction. There should be contrition, woe is me, and then there is cleansing from those things when you get an honest view of self. When we're comparing ourselves not with ourselves, but allowing ourselves to be compared to the true light of who Jesus Christ is, allowing that light to reveal us, understanding this, When we're talking about successes, sins, sorrow, and sufferings, no one suffered and sorrowed like he did. There's only one person ever truly abandoned by God, and that's God. No one else can honestly cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's been said God does not send sorrow, doesn't send suffering, doesn't send problems. He often brings them to a child of God. But as he brings them, he is there with you when you can't see his hand. Trust his heart, the songwriter said. No one has suffered and sorrowed like him. If you're going to compare your life to someone, compare it to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No one succeeded like him.
Yes,
we don't have time to go to Philippians chapter 2, but no one's going to be honored like the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be honored one day. And no one was as sinless as him, because he's the only one sinless. The only one to battle against Satan's sin, death, hell, and the grave, who went in pure, without a spot or a blemish, to battle the greatest forces outside of heaven that have ever existed, and to come out of that battle just the same, without spot, without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
To be renewed, I've got to learn of Christ, abide with Christ. The Spirit of God is one that reveals these things to us. I've got to be willing to be drawn to the light. And the closer we get, I can almost guarantee it, the more discomfort you're going to run into, the more pain you're going to run into, as the light reveals I'm not all that I thought I was. Then I have these struggles, these secret faults, or perhaps this presumptuous sinning, this willful violating of the Word of God, or perhaps that light is going to reveal even further back, I've got a lot of sorrow, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. I've never dealt with it. And God is going to take some people back on the journey and say, let me open these things back up. Let me tear the bandage back off, that bandage you have put on over and over and over again. Let me reveal the suffering. Let me reveal the wound. And it's going to hurt. Can we say it? I'm not trying to be funny. It's going to stink. There is perhaps rot. There is fester. It has led to bitterness and anger and wrath. In malice, and he said, I don't want to be this angry person. I don't want to be this bitter person. Then let the light of God take you on this journey.
Yes, sir.
You've got to be willing to be drawn to the light.
Yes, sir.
Willing to see the flaws, the imperfections, and the weaknesses that come along with being revealed by the light. But if I can humble myself, resist the pride, and submit to the pain that it causes, in that we find ourselves remolded, remade, renewed. Not trying to pretend I am there. I have not even close. I'm not a fraction or a percent of what I should be as a parent, as a husband, as a pastor, as a Christian. But this is part of why, and I don't get to go into all the details of why the Lord led me, and it's clear as day that I need to step down, and I did for all intents and purposes last fall for over a little over 2 months when I stood and said, I'm not spiritually, emotionally, or physically fit to be your pastor. And with all intents and purposes, well, that day with Brother Old Pinto preaching, tendered my at least temporary resignation.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't arrived. I'm not trying to pretend I have. I still have my fair share of struggles. But I said, God, I've got to take a journey where I get to know you and get to know myself. And I've got to have some things fixed. I've got to let the light of God reveal some sufferings and sorrows that have never been dealt with. Reveal some presumptuous sinning and some secret faults that I've been dealing with. To reveal some of the successes and the glory days that you live on and comparing yourselves with yourselves. You were unwise. And say, God, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm not going to father that way. I'm not going to husband that way. I'm not going to pastor that way. And not that I have arrived, like Paul said. But what I can do is deal with these things, make sure I put them behind me, not that I forget about them, but that I'm in a position where they're no longer derailing me from pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, that He may be glorified.
Yes, sir.
Let's stop there for tonight.